listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, 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 guys. Welcome back. Welcome back. Hope everyone has had a good week. Sorry, I missed you guys last week. We moved into a great, big, huge studio of just greatness and chats and, you know, lots of hard work to get where we are today. But I missed you guys. I want to let you know that. I want to thank everybody for reaching out to make sure that everything was okay. Of course, it is. But I wanted to share with you briefly that we're going to have two guests come on today. One gentleman, his name is James, and his brother was a victim of a hit and run out in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. A very horrific story to tell. Not sure if we can get the whole entire story in today. And I still didn't forget about our lost little one, King Hill, a.k.a. King Mirandez. We will have updates on that coming soon. Also, Elysiana Levy Carter, the 13-year-old that was basically slaughtered in Philadelphia. We have updates on that as well. Updates and lots of shocking revelations concerning that issue. And I'll let you know where we are with that. But I do want to touch base on this young man's brother, some shocking things that he's going to share with you about that. And I also have cousin, I don't know if you remember him, he's coming on again to share with us some clarity on some questions I had for him of knowledge that he may know of some things that has happened in Philadelphia that I was alerted to by others. And of course, dealing with my profession, I have to legally turn it over to the proper authorities in any jurisdiction because I took an oath to do so. So anything that you share with me that is of critical time-sensitive information, I will definitely make use out of it. And I do thank the people that have called in and shared information. And let me just say this, not just regular information, they have shared very accurate information, which helps me with my case logs, and it helps the other jurisdictions in bringing these criminals to face justice. And, you know, some people think that, you know, oh, if you tell, you're a snitch. If you're talking, you're a snitch. If you say something, you're a snitch. I'm just going to tell you like this. We as a people are not exempt from anything today. And it could be your family. It could be your mother, your brother, your father, your grandmother. It could be so many close people to you that things can happen to. And you wouldn't want anyone saying, you know, you're a snitch, because that is not factual information. Whoever came up with that theory of snitches get stitches, you know, wherever that came from, it doesn't exist here in America today, because when it is your turn, as we are not exempt from anything today, you would be the person wanting to come forward and say, this is what happened. And you want to be truthful and honest, you know, and I can tell you from my many years of doing investigative work for various entities. And no, I'm not a solo practitioner. I do work for a confidential agency. So I will say this to you. You can't imagine the people that have said to me, you know, Ms. Torres, I have never, ever called the police a day in my life until this happened to my family member. And I had to get answers and I had to get justice, you know, because if you take matters into your own hands, as far as street justice, you're liable to end up being the perpetrator at that point. No one will ever look at you as a victim. to have lost a loved one due to the hands of violence, criminal activity, and so on. So I wanted to make that point very clear because it is real today. You know, people have children that are in colleges today that the children go missing from these schools. And then they say, okay, well, the child decided to commit suicide. Not true. They find out later on that their child was actually murdered. And, you know, it's not a good thing to want to have that mentality of keeping secrets, you know, or just as they say, word on the street. Word on the street actually solves a lot of crimes because I can tell you there's about 99.9999 people working right now that are not on government payroll, but on the payroll. So let's just say that. And you should know that. Be mindful of your internet postings because that is considered reckless internet postings. Be mindful that things are being made aware from these people on certain pages that they follow you on all social media platforms. They are people that are speaking up and they're saying something. So I do thank all my callers, all my followers that have actually sent in very good leads to help me, help the Philadelphia Police Department and the detectives in other states that have come forward to share their information, but and be very truthful about it, because it's a lot of people that call in with nonsense and, you know, he say, she say, and they just want to listen and be a part of. But I am going to move on to this young man who lost his life innocently to a hit and run in Philadelphia. I just want to say that I do appreciate every one of you that come on, and I do appreciate the ones that contact me directly to give truthful information, because you have helped a family have closure, because after this person is gone and deceased, the world moves on with their lives. The family is stricken by this grief and this tragedy every day of their lives. So that's something to keep in mind of, you know, snitches get stitches. You know, if they want to give you a stitch, tell them, bring it on, you know, and you take the appropriate measures to report it and have justice on your side. But just make sure that you do have some type of witness when you receive threats. That way it can be handled appropriately. So I'm looking for James to call in to talk about his brother for a moment. James, are you there? I'm not sure if James has made it on the line as of yet. But back to the story of Aliziana. I call her Libby. I didn't know her personally. It's a case that's being handled in Philadelphia. It's ongoing. It's a very sad case, but we will talk about that, and we will talk about the gun violence and the individuals that are participating in these crimes. So that way justice can be served for their family and all other families. They can close the chapter on that, not permanently, but they can have some relief to know that another person is off the street that commits these heinous crimes. James, welcome to the show. James, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm okay. Just getting done work.
Okay, well, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about your brother, Jose Rodriguez.
Yes.
He was killed by a hit and run in Philadelphia?
It was actually in Florida, but he's from Philadelphia.
Oh, he's from he's from Philadelphia. It happened in Florida. And what exactly happened?
So, truthfully, what really happened. So my brother and his girlfriend got into an argument, and they were in the middle of the highway, and she kicked him out of her vehicle. She was driving. He was in the passenger seat. Heated words were exchanged. He hit the side of her car, and she struck him. And then after she struck him, she drove off. And when she drove off, these highways in Florida, they're long and dark. A lady came driving, and she didn't know. I guess he was laying there, and she came and she ran him over. And so the story that she's telling is that, you know, they were heading to a friend's house, and that he was intoxicated, and that they got into an argument. He ran out of the car into the woods, and that she went to go look for him with his friend. They got him back into the car. When they found him, he was bloody. They tried cleaning him up, put him in the back seat. He woke back up, ran out of the car, and that's when they found that the airlift rescue was coming to pick him up. So the girl... the ex-girlfriend actually has a uncle that fixes cars, and she took her car to be fixed and clean, you know, the very next day. And the supposed best friend that they were supposed to go see tried skipping town, and the ex-girlfriend was never investigated until about 6 months after the incident. The best friend was never investigated until 6 months after. The lady who hit, who actually initially ran my brother over, was never given the toxicology test. You know, no further investigation was taken. You know, my brother's case was closed as suicide.
Oh, wow. So do you know your brother to have any type of suicidal thoughts?
Nope. And he has a little girl. He has a daughter that is actually 6 years old, that's turning 7 in, you know, in November. So, you know, this kid, he worked 2, almost 3 jobs to support her, you know, so for him to do something like that is unheard of, you know.
So
and,
when did this happen?
This actually is going to go on 3 years on the 16th of this month. So his third year anniversary is actually coming up in 3 days. Sorry, not 3 days, in 8 days.
Oh, wow. Wow. So you don't feel like the detectives properly investigated the case?
No. And also, she's from that town where the incident happened.
What town was that?
This was in, what was that, Orange County, Florida?
Okay, is that near the Miami area or Fort Lauderdale?
Further north. So it's like near Jacksonville, near St. Augustine, like in that area.
Okay. So did your family do anything, you know, to move forward with proper investigation at the time?
We tried, you know, talking to a few lawyers out there, and they pretty much said that, you know, this girl knows the sheriff's department. She knows the judge. Her family is, you know, well known in that area.
So you think maybe she played a part and everybody tried to brush it under the rug?
Of course, without a doubt.
So was this a girlfriend of your brother's that you knew personally?
I didn't personally know her that much. Like we knew like each other enough, you know, and spoke to each other here and there. But a lot of the times when I spoke to my brother, you know, this girl was like really was like forcing herself onto him, like showing up to his grandmother's house down there, showing up to his job unexpected. It's just, you know, she was a really, really controlling person. And he would, you know, pretty much just give in because he felt bad. You know, he initially did love the girl.
So do you think she would have the temperament of someone who could be a murderer?
I mean, I don't know her that well, but I do know that she was also intoxicated that night because they just came from a friend's house, and the friend's house that they were at told me that she was intoxicated. You know, so, you know, in the middle of an argument and, you know, with, you know, in jealousy, you know, love can make you do crazy things. And I do believe that she initially struck my brother and left him for dead in the middle of the road.
And how old was your brother at the time of this?
At the time of this, he was 24.
24 years old.
Yes.
So he lost his life. And of course, the detectives moved on and everyone else moved on. And your family is still stuck with the grief. And he has a child of an unsolved case out, just ruled out as suicide, basically.
Exactly.
So has anybody hired an investigator to, you know, like a private investigator to maybe look further into this case?
I don't know. As far as my brother's side of the family, I don't know what they did on their end. But we've hired several lawyers even outside of that county. And when they looked at this case and they pretty much matched the name up, her name, they all came up with the same conclusion and evidence that, you know, this girl is in her family is pretty known in this area, that they have strong ties with the authority, with the judge. And it's pretty much, you know, it's a battle that you're not going to win. That's pretty much what I was told.
Well, let me ask you something. Do you believe that, because you said that she has some strong family ties with the judges and people that are of high character on the legal team, as far as maybe the police department, lawyers, judges, do you think maybe they could have played a part in hiding some of her actions?
Oh, I wouldn't doubt that for a second.
Okay. So, you know, it just seemed kind of weird that, you know your brother pretty well, and you don't seem to think he would run out into traffic and want to say, that's it, we had an argument, I'm just going to kill myself. Right?
Yeah. So it's pretty much, you know, because I know my brother, and I know, you know, he wouldn't go to that length to do that, to harm himself. And to leave, you know, his daughter behind. He actually picked up an extra job to take care of his daughter.
Okay, because, you know, there's a thing called the rules of evidence. And according to whatever evidence they have that ruled her out, it actually has to match her story. Do you feel like the evidence they have matched the story that she actually has?
No, not at all.
Okay. So do you feel like this is a story that needs to be publicized and reopened?
I would definitely hope so. Because, you know, not just justice for my brother, but, you know, other people that have been, you know, dismissed as suicides, or, you know, cases that are just thrown out, because of who they know and not what actions were done. And I definitely want to shed some light to help bring some closure to other families and not just mine.
Right. And I know other families could kindly appreciate that, because your family, you know, I'm terribly sorry for your loss. And hopefully we can put this out there to enough listeners. Someone may have seen something. Believe it or not, people actually see things, you know, until it's heard again, they will say, you know what, I remember that happened 3 years ago. You know, I remember seeing this guy with her. I remember her being abusive to him. You know, it's people like that that can come forward, because under federal law, there are no statute of limitations on murder.
So, right, because I know that statute of limitation is 10 years. But in, you said, as in federal law, there are no statute of limitations. So I would definitely, you know, like to open up this case with the proper, you know, help backing me up and cracking this investigation and also of other investigations in that area, you know, and help other people to come forward and, you know, not stay quiet and, you know, and speak up and help other families rest. Because speaking from my self perspective, you know, I ever since I left that hospital on June 16th, I've never been myself. You know, it's like a part of my soul has been left there. And it's like I carry that burden, you know, every single day, because I know that's not my brother. That's not his tendency. If, you know, I'm not saying that's okay, but if, you know, if someone, you know, that was, you know, more hurt and distressed and distraught, that, you know, I would know that's more prone of suicide. You know, I wouldn't be so, you know, headstrong about it. Like, no, that this can't be, you know, I'd be so distraught about, you know, the case being dismissed as a suicide. But knowing what I know, and knowing my brother, I know that it wasn't suicide. And to get this case solved and, you know, bring justice, would mean more than the world to me.
Okay. So would you have a problem with coming back on our show at a later date once we gather more information about this young lady and who she is?
Say that one more time.
Would you have a problem with coming back on our show once we gather more information on this young lady, of who she is and things that she could have done to actually harm your brother?
Oh, no, I would definitely love to come back on.
Okay, because, you know, we definitely stick to our name. It's confirmed, and all information that we do gather, it's confirmation of that information. We don't just put things out there as fake fries and lies, as some people call it. But we do put out actual information. That way the family can have closure, people can be brought to justice. And, you know, it helps people have a clear path of thinking that this person didn't actually kill themselves. It was actually murder. And, you know, take a closer look into the people that have maybe played a part in your brother's death. So
exactly.
I would definitely like to have you back on the show. That way I can get more clarity and information so I can help you get the real justice that your family truly deserves.
And I thank you sincerely from the bottom of my heart. You know, because we've been digging, we've been probing, we've been trying to, you know, get some kind of information, even if it's the slightest information about this girl or her family, to try to gather little pieces of, you know, the puzzle, little by little, to try to push the case to some kind of closure. But every time we try, you know, pushing or looking, you know, they always turn their head and, you know, no one knows anything.
Right. Because usually after the person is confirmed deceased, the case is closed and no one pretty much looks into it anymore because, you know, it's called caseload. It's like, I don't know if you know about this child system of, it's called DHS in Philadelphia, where the child becomes really a victim because they're caught in the middle of a bad situation and it's no one there to advocate properly for them. So I would like to have you on in a few weeks so we can gather more information and bring people on that have seen and heard and know some things.
So I would definitely love to come back on.
Okay, and thank you for calling, James, and we will be reaching out to you.
Oh, thank you. And, you know, thank you to, you know, a lot of people that are tuning in now. You know, and just like you said, there's no such thing as, you know, the snitches get the stitches theory. You know, whoever came up with that concept, you know, is too prideful. You know, and I guarantee you, you know, that theory didn't stick long, you know, because God forbid, you know, something happened to their family. You know, now they want somebody to speak up, but now that code doesn't no longer exist because now, you know, it's happened to them. And, you know, I'm not a gangster. I don't live by, you know, street code. I don't, like, I'm a law-abiding citizen. You know, I'm a human being. You know, if something is done to my family or somebody unjustly, I will want justice for them, you know, because that's the right, you know, humanic thing to do, not as, you know, as a gangster or, you know, not as any label. You know, it's just a humane thing to do. You know, that's a human being that was harmed or killed. You know, I would want justice for them just as if something happened to my family. I would want, you know, someone to do the humane and decent thing to come forward with information about my family.
Okay, absolutely. And I thank you for calling in, and we will be calling you back in the next couple of weeks once we gather more information.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, James. Have a great evening.
Thank you. You as well.
Okay. Right. So, guys, you heard that story. Is it hit and run or is it truly murder? Yet to be confirmed, which we will confirm. We have special resources of confirming everything that goes on, you know, even down to fake profiles and fake names and no caller ID, block numbers. It's a thing called cell phone towers, folks. It's a cell phone tower that your phone number gets pinged with an ID. We're going to call it an ID number. You get your own individual ID number where sophisticated software nowadays is very sophisticated, where we can actually ping your location and zoom in via satellite and see you, but you can't see us. So be very mindful of reckless internet postings, you know, death threats, posting pictures of people and saying you want them murdered. All of these things come back to haunt you. And what you don't realize is, especially if you have children out here today, one day you're going to want to get your life together and it will be too late. You will forever have to live the life of crime because you've done so much damage to your future by reckless internet postings that it haunts you. Because in the time that we live in now, if you have been threatening or posting or been charged with, you know, reckless internet postings and death threats, no one will want to hire you. People are walking into the job place today with guns. They're slaughtering people. When they look at your criminal history, they're going to say, there's no way that we could hire this individual because they threaten others. They're a potential threat to this company. And there's one thing with companies is they have insurance. And insurance companies are going to say, this person is a liability. Why would we want to hire them? It's come down to working at McDonald's. They do background checks. They want to know that McDonald's is going to be safe when they hire you. They don't want to think that you're going to threaten the employees if you can't get your free meal for lunch, or you're disgruntled because things are not going your way and you might be, you know, a cowboy and want to play shoot 'em up in their place of business. You're going to be considered a liability. So folks, criminal records is not the thing to have today. And I'll just give you a brief synopsis and then I will move on from that. I was charged with breaking an entry last year. And little did the police not know that I also have legal authority, just as they do, but that did not matter. If you break into someone's home, you will be arrested. I was arrested and charged with burglary. And those charges have been dismissed. And the reason behind it is because I truly did not break in. Okay. And had I had gotten stuck with those charges, I would have lost my whole entire career behind a misunderstanding. Okay. And the misunderstanding was, if you go into someone's home and you have keys, but you do not have the alarm code, you will be arrested. So at the end of the day, an arrest is an arrest. A criminal charge is a criminal charge, but that does not make you a criminal. But the death threats will make you a criminal, because you will not have a good life ever. Your life will forever be a street thug, gangster. I mean, they have a lot of different titles for those jobs. So if that's the job that you want to take on and the career that you want to take on, that's another story. But when you have children that you have to put through college, and you think about your career at hand, and you think about the success of their lives, you tend to think twice if you truly love your children. But if you don't love your children, you're going to move right on along and continue on with your criminal behavior. And like I said, we can see you, but you can't see us. So I'm going to skip on down the road to talking about our little angel, Elisiana Libby Carter, the 13-year-old out of Philadelphia that was slaughtered by someone, an individual that shot her point blank range in the mouth. Usually, any good investigator, any good detective usually knows that's a signal of wanting to quiet you. Maybe quiet you because you know too much of something. Well, in this case, this young lady was slaughtered. I would not even use the word murdered. She was slaughtered in Philadelphia. She was being housed by many older men, grown men. As you remember, I told you Prince Walters, and I did contact the real Prince Walters, in which he was a victim, still is a victim of identity theft, thanks to his cousin, Christian Duncan. He has taken the appropriate measures versus confronting his cousin to say, hey, I'm going to, you know, do bodily harm because you're pretending to be me and you're raping 13-year-old little girls and 14-year-old girls, and you're hiding this fact and you're using my identity to do so, which we did confirm, by the way. And Prince Walters, with my assistance, of course, has proceeded with federal charges against his cousin. So his cousin, Christian Duncan, will be charged formally as soon as he is collected. I'm not going to say found. I'm going to say collected. You know, found is more like lost and found. You lost and found your sweater somewhere. No, he will be collected gracefully. And I say collected because this young man was not only sleeping with 13. Well, she was almost 13. She was 12, turning 13. He was sleeping with a 12-year-old, stating that this 12-year-old little girl, was his girlfriend. And he's not the only one. There is another guy also that was claiming that he was her boyfriend. His name is Maurice. I think he's 28 years old, sleeping with her. Had a conversation with Maurice's girlfriend, and she states that she was so broken to find out that her boyfriend was sleeping with a 12-year-old child. Okay. So she was broken, but she also facilitated. And mind you, she is of legal age, this girlfriend. So she facilitated the actions of this 28-year-old man sleeping with a 12-year-old girl, which she should be charged as well as an accomplice to, I would say, sex trafficking, because that's more of what it sounds like to me. And I'm never wrong. I'm usually 99.999 correct. I'm like a DNA test. I'm always 99.9999% correct about things that are confirmed. But this young lady facilitated sexual acts. She was a driver. Not only was she a driver of the car that facilitated these acts, but she was also a facilitator of several burglaries in Philadelphia. And that has been confirmed. Okay. So there's a lot going on here with this Elisiana Libby Carter case that is yet to be unveiled. The young man had a girlfriend of legal age. This woman, I'm going to say she's a grown woman. They were hand feeding this 13-year-old Libby. They were hand feeding her heroin. Okay. They were hand feeding her pills. They were hand feeding her opioids to make her relax, to be a part of their sex trafficking. Why hasn't the girlfriend been charged? Because she claims she had nothing to do with nothing. She says, I have an alibi. I was not there. Well, we have proof, girlfriend of age, if you're listening out there, we have proof that this young lady was sex trafficked, and you were a co-conspirator of that sex trafficking. And that has been confirmed. This adult girlfriend slash sex trafficker was also taking this 13-year-old along with her for shoplifting trips. And let me just remind you, this adult girlfriend currently lives in a place, I'm going to say a place, a state, okay? And her family actually lives in a very, very exclusive neighborhood, okay, where only million-dollar homes sit. And you got this adult sex trafficker female girlfriend facilitating sexual acts with her boyfriend and this 12-year-old kid, okay? So there's a lot to that case that is yet to be unveiled due to the confirmation of some things. But everything that I have said thus far has been confirmed. And to shed more light on that, as I stated before, if your child is in a DHS system out there in Philadelphia, I pray that you can have your child move to a family member's house, because this 13-year-old girl was in DHS custody. And this 13-year-old girl was slaughtered. Now, the question would be, well, if I was that parent, I would be filing a lawsuit. Well, guess what? They're protected. No lawsuit can be filed because it is called unforeseen actions. How was DHS supposed to know that this young lady would get killed while she was in their custody? It's unheard of. But they are protected with their little shield. So if you can keep your kids protected, keep them protected, keep them with family members, keep them with someone who does not have a criminal record, that way, well, then again, I take that back because I know a child in custody right now. The criminal record is longer than the highway. I think that's 76 in Philadelphia. So I take that back. Criminals can have foster kids. I take that back. So that is a factual statement. So that can happen. Their rule book says one thing, but their placement says something else. Also, going back to little Libby Carter, the 13-year-old, I was giving her parents some time to grieve before I brought them on the show to talk about the wonderful child that their daughter was. She was removed from the home because they said it was a safety concern. But in fact, it looks like putting her in that setting was more of a safety concern. So at a later date, I will have her parents come on. But these parents are still so very broken with unanswered questions about what truly happened to their daughter. And, you know, it's a very sad thing. Sometimes they feel as though if the parents are not doing what they're supposed to do, with one incident at hand, they feel that it's justifiable cause to remove a child, which I do understand. But to remove a child and just throw it to the wolves and you have no shame for it, and you can sleep at night, Mr. or Mrs. Social Worker. That says a lot about your demeanor and your love for the kids and your passion for that job. So I do want to commend the foster parents that do take in children that are a victim of circumstance and need true love so they can be progressive citizens going forward in their lives. You know, not putting a rape victim with a rapist and saying, it's okay. They're not going to touch you again. They won't hit you. They won't hurt you. You're still Mr. or Mrs. putting this child in harm's way. I do have a former DHS adult who would like to come on the show and express their, you know, situation as far as being in DHS custody as children and being separated from their other siblings. So you can hear it for yourselves, you know, their trauma, the things that they went through being pulled from their home and having to be sacrificed as animals, like animals. And being an adult and can't get the proper help that they need today. So to share some of that with you, it's very mind-blowing to, you know, if you're not in that arena, you really don't know what goes on. But if you are in that arena, you can say, this is what happened to me, you know, and this is where I'm at today. So I, don't want to put words in anybody's mouth. I want you to hear it from the person directly. And they can express their remarks to that whole entire system. And, you know, as we get further into these cases, especially Libby's case, the 13-year-old, there's more things that will eventually come out. And there are things that have to be left unsaid due to the ongoing investigation. But but the items that I have delivered to you today are things that have been shared with you as a tyrant. You know, she's a bad kid, but they don't know the hellstorm that kid was going through just being in those foster homes. And by the way, I have a foster parent that wants to speak out as well, you know, on how these kids are treated in the system, and they have direct access to these children. I can't mention any names because I know that DHS is following me on my platform. So I don't want the foster parents to get in any trouble for speaking their minds and speaking out. And I'd like to thank everybody for listening in today. And next week, we will talk about the ghost guns in Philadelphia. And we will talk about Libby Carter again next week, sharing some shocking details in regards to what happened, how we found the girlfriend, things that have not been exposed, things that will be exposed when it's confirmed. And looking forward to talking with another victim of gun violence in Philadelphia who is suffering with that till this very day. And what's being done about it? Because the numbers are going up, people. The numbers are going up. So day by day, you had a 13-year-old, was it 13? No, he was 16 years old, shot 13 times. 18-year-old shot 13 times. That says something about something. So next week, we got big things to talk about. See you next time. Have a good day. Bye.
You're listening to It's Confirmed with Tamiko Torres.